Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop, which is taking place on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer to sign up. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to identify simple solutions and systems that will make a massive difference and ripple effect inside of your center. I'm going to help you create efficiency where you need it most and understand what is causing your school to feel so hectic and where those big pain points are. We're going to clarify your center's priority system to improve this summer. I'm going to show you how to audit those systems. We're going to define your desired outcomes, and you're going to leave the workshop with a simple plan that will make huge impact. And by simple, I mean very simple. No complex, no multi-step processes, super, super simple. No one has time for long things. No one has brain capacity for extra stuff. We need simple things that have massive impact. Go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer and I'll see you there.
Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, where we have conversations about education, leadership, and building a school of excellence. The goal on this show is to bring you clarity, up-level your mindset, and give you practical strategies and inspiration so you can show up with confidence and trust your decision-making. I'm Chani Olshansky. I'm a mom of 4 under 10, a former New Yorker, and been in the early childhood field my entire life. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this conversation.
Welcome back to another episode of the Schools of Excellence podcast. This is part 4 in our 5-part series of the paradoxes of school leadership. So the last couple of episodes I did, well, the first episode I did an introduction to what the paradoxes of school leadership are, why we need to understand what these paradoxes are and how they really impact our leadership and our decision-making. And then I really started to explain and uncover each of those paradoxes. So we spoke about the paradox of choice, we spoke about the paradox of success, and today we're going to be talking about the paradox of control. So the paradox of control refers to our desire to exert control over many different aspects of our lives, and also the recognition that certain things are beyond our control. It really highlights the tension for our need for autonomy and the inherent uncertainty and unpredictability that exists in our life. Right? This concept of the paradox of control really emphasizes that while we can influence and direct certain aspects of our existence, there are so many factors that we cannot control. Now, I want to do something kind of a little bit differently here with this episode, specifically because I know, just even for myself, that control is really hard. We like to control things that are happening around us. We want to feel a semblance of control. It kind of sometimes feels like we have a little bit more of a sense of safety. And if you are not driving right now, if you are cooking or cleaning or whatever else you're doing, as long as you're not operating a vehicle, I want you to put your hand on your heart and I want you to really take a moment and breathe into what it feels like to reckon with the fact that there are so many factors beyond your control. Breathe in again. I want you to draw attention to where you are feeling tightness inside of your body when you think about, oh, I can't control that. So even if you're you might be visualizing right now a particular decision that you're trying to make or a particular thing that's happening in your life, whether that's your personal life or the center, and you're recognizing that there are a lot of contributing factors that are not in your control. Where are you feeling it inside of you? Right? So going out of your head and down, dropping into your body, where are you feeling the tension? We want control, but what we actually need is trust. What we actually need is flow state and letting go. What we actually need is peace and rest and restoration. What we actually need is trusting in a higher power, in God, and recognizing that there's so much uncertainty, and uncertainty has always been a part of life. And risk is an inherent part of so many things that you're going to go after, and trusting that process. So I want you to come back here, like come back up from your body. And I want to share some specific examples of how the paradox of control really manifests itself inside of organizations. Number one is decision-making and autonomy. The paradox of control really comes up when school leaders are really trying to strike this balance between exercising their authority inside of the center when it comes to policies, procedures, values, mission, organizational infrastructure, whatever it is, and at the same time allowing teachers to have input and autonomy in the decision-making process that directly impacts their classrooms. So leaders are really consistently striking this balance between exerting authority of like who's making the rules and what the mission is and what the vision is and where the direction of the company is going and what the goals are and what are we tracking and what are the metrics and what's our profit margin and all of these different factors, and also bringing in autonomy for teachers to also be a part of a big part of the decision-making process that impacts their classrooms. So this can, again, sometimes feel paradoxical in nature, where how much input do you have when it comes to certain things that are happening in the classroom versus how much collaboration do you create with your staff? And again, there's no perfect recipe. If you're waiting for the perfect recipe or the perfect percentage, it doesn't exist. It's not what this conversation is about. Where else do we see the paradox of control show up? In classroom observations and feedback. So the leader is coming in to conduct classroom observations and wants to provide constructive feedback while also respecting a teacher's individual teaching styles and their own approaches to leading a particular classroom. So inside our Director's Inner Circle, we have a whole framework called the Classroom Observation Framework. And we walk you guys through the 6 performance keys, which are the 6 key pillars that all teachers need to be doing in order to be a teacher of excellence. And then we walk you through the framework of how to observe each of those keys, how to come into the classroom with intention, how to know what you're looking for, the right questions that you're supposed to be asking, how to follow up and have that conversation with the teacher after, how to set measurable targets, how to give the teacher very tangible, digestible strategies that they could take action on, how to close the feedback loop to make sure they're implementing it, and how to follow through and set new targets, right? It's a whole cycle. And so we have that entire framework inside of our Director's Inner Circle. If you're interested, you could click the link in the show notes. There's more information there. And so going back to the paradox of control, is the paradox lies in the leader comes in and wants to give feedback on a particular thing that they're seeing in the classroom. Maybe it's a circle time. Maybe it's a particular way that the teacher set up a learning invitation or provocation to play. Maybe they were observing outside in the class, in the playground, and they noticed that there was a safety issue that they deemed as a safety issue. And at the same time, they also want to respect an individual teacher's teaching style and how they want to approach specific things. And so again, going back to the paradox of control, where do you exert control? Where do you exert influence? Where do you exert authority? It's not even like striking this balance. There's certain things that when you do that, it contradicts with that. When you do this particular thing, it feels like paradoxical in nature to the other thing. So again, this is where the paradoxes show up. Let's go a step further. Trust and communication. So here the paradox lies in maintaining a level of authority and leadership while also fostering an environment where teachers feel comfortable to express their thoughts and concerns, right? So we want our staff to be able to come forward and share, here's what I'm experiencing, here's something that I would need from you, here's where I'm struggling, here's where I need this. And at the same time, right, we don't want it to feel like a zoo. We want there to be a level of professionalism and leadership and a certain semblance of law and order. And it can sometimes feel paradoxical in nature. Like, one second, I'm, you know, establishing authority and credibility here. And at the same time, I'm opening myself up and being vulnerable. And I want people to share what they need from me or what experiences they're having. And I don't want to be standoffish. I really want people to come in and collaborate. Again, it can feel paradoxical in nature because it's like, well, if I do this, then how do I get this? And if I open myself up too much, what happens on the other side of that? All of these questions, right? And the point of asking these questions is not to seek answers immediately. The point of asking these questions is to understand how to bring this into your level of awareness and consciousness. That is the point of asking certain questions. It's not about, can I find the answer, right? again, it's paradoxical in nature. It doesn't always have an answer, like I said in the first episode of the series. Sometimes you're asking a question to actually just spark the person and be like, oh, wow, never thought of it that way. Never realized it that way. So I had a owner that I was working with who was preparing for a difficult conversation with her team. She was telling them that she was going to be selling a particular location. She had multiple locations and she was going to be selling one location that was kind of underperforming for a lot of different reasons. And it just didn't make sense for her to continue to hold ownership of that center. And a great opportunity came up where another owner wanted to acquire that location. She's like, great, this is fantastic. And so she did a lot of her due diligence. She really literally checked off probably every single box that you could possibly check off when you're going through an acquisition. She really, really did a phenomenal job. And then she was preparing for the difficult conversation that she needed to have with the team that the center was going to be acquired. And she was feeling really uneasy before this conversation was going to be happening in person. And so she messaged me privately. Now, clients who work with us in our legacy group or clients who work with me one-on-one or who are, you know, invested in leadership days, they have access to on-demand questions with me in a private channel. And so they have this ability to experience real-time feedback with stuff that are happening on the ground right now. And so as she was preparing for this conversation, she reached out to me and I asked her, I said, listen, let me ask you a question. Let me step back up again for a second. So she messaged me and she said, I'm feeling uneasy about entering this conversation. Now, if I was just a regular, I don't know, coach or advisor or whatever it is, the first thing I would probably do is like give advice, right? Which is like, oh, you're feeling uneasy. Okay, go take a walk, go drink some water, go take a break, go do some meditation, shake out your body, whatever it is. That's not what I do because she's not coming to me to get advice on how to shake off nerves. Here's what she could do if she wanted advice on how to shake off nerves. You go to this great engine, it's called Google, and you write, how do I shake off nerves? And it will give you 1,000 ideas of how to do that. She didn't ping me for me to give her ideas on how to shake off nerves. It is so important to understand this in the paradox of control. I'm pausing here in my story that people come and ask you questions. And we're going to talk about this in the paradox of support, which I'm going to talk about next week. And you think that people are coming to you with one particular thing. When you answer with advice, it is you trying to control the narrative and the conversation. Don't do it. Ask questions. That requires uncertainty because I don't know what she's going to answer. And that requires high levels of self-trust, experience, and training to be able to ask questions instead of giving advice. Okay, so let's go back to the story. So she messaged me and she says, Connie, I'm really uneasy about entering this conversation. And so I asked her a question. I said, is there a belief that you have right now that because you checked off every box, because you did everything that you were supposed to, somehow you can control the narrative and you feel like, well, my team should really handle this well because I did everything I was supposed to do. And she said, yes, that is my belief. I do want them to handle this well. I have done everything, you know, I possibly could. I said, okay, great. Now that that's out in the open, right? Now that we're aware that you are entering this conversation from a place of expectation that however you present this to them, they should handle it a certain way. And that certain way is the way that you want them to handle this, you know, news and this conversation. So now let's sit in the discomfort in the fact that you cannot control how they are going to respond to the news of the acquisition. You have zero control over that. You had control over, did you do the checklist? Did you do this? Did you do due diligence? Did you go do observation? Whatever, all the stuff that you had to do, right? That you had control over of whether or not that you did it. And so as much as you would like to influence this factor as well, you can't. So we have to trust that we've done our due diligence. We've done everything we're supposed to. We are showing up with our own integrity, our own values, that we have done what we need to do. And now we're going to enter the conversation with empathy, with kindness, with respect, and with space for whatever emotion the person is going to experience on the other side that you don't have control over. I'm going to tell you another story because I think these stories really help us see how much control is infiltrating our decision making. So there was another client that I helped map out a really big project that they had going on. They were preparing for a huge community event that they were hosting. And not only were all the parents coming, they also had the mayor coming. And it was a really, really big deal. They're a school that has been around for a while, but they're kind of getting their footing now and really building kind of this brand equity in the marketplace. And they're really excited about this. And the mayor was coming. And so they planned for this for months. And I had helped them with the project and the mapping and all the stuff associated with it and the mindset work and everything. And so she was preparing for the postmortem. And for those of you that don't know, a postmortem is really this meeting where all the stakeholders that are part of an event or a decision or whatever it was come together after the event to reflect on what worked, what didn't work, what were the mistakes, what can we learn from it, what do we want to do better next time. It's called a postmortem. And so what I love about the Schools of Excellence community that we've created is that people come to ask us questions before they enter certain conversations, right? They come and she knows how to run a postmortem. She didn't come with like, how do I run the postmortem? She knows what questions to ask. She knows how to lead a conversation. She was coming to me and asked me, what questions do I need to ask myself before I enter this conversation, right? What am I maybe not aware of? So I said, okay, let's walk through this. When you enter the postmortem, you're sitting with your team and you're saying, what went well? What went wrong? What can we improve next time? And she said, yeah. I said, okay, great. And then what happens after that? She's like, well, we look at, you know, the mistakes and where did the mistakes go wrong and whatever it is. And I said, okay, now I want you to sit with the fact that next time you run the event, you're going to make new mistakes. And then she said, she's like, what? What do you mean I'm going to make new mistakes? And I said, well, because of your beautiful humanity, you are going to make mistakes again the next time you run this event. So even though you're going to run the event the exact same way, you're going to do all the exact same things, maybe you'll switch a couple of things, you're still going to make new mistakes because there are so many factors that are still always going to be beyond your control. So the question I want you to think about is when I'm doing this postmortem with my team, how do I cultivate resilience and humanity in the team that we need to recover from the mistakes that we made, but also we need to recognize we're still going to make mistakes next time? And how do we create closure on this event? Whatever the mistakes were, write them down, we discuss it, and now we move forward. Now we let go and we trust the process. And we don't micromanage and we don't over-engineer things. And we don't, you know, huddle over certain mistakes the next time this event runs. I was like, oh, last time she made this and this mistake. So let me dig in over there and make sure that that doesn't happen again. We have to understand the discerning line between trying to control every single thing that's actually not in your control versus things that are, yes, next time, let's make sure that we order enough napkins. Next time when we place the order, we don't need to order that many balloons. We, you know, had tons of extra. We don't need to do that next time. There are certain factors in running an event and running an experience with your school that you'll recognize next time we can do X, Y, and Z. The control piece comes from the place of, are you also recognizing that next time you run this event, there will be other contributing factors that will lead for human error? Because that's what it is. It's human error. Humans make mistakes. And that part of the paradox of control is very difficult for leaders to sit in because they want to control everything. Because they believe that if you can just sit down and have enough postmortems and enough SOPs and enough checklists and enough processes and enough technology and enough, then no mistakes will happen. And that is a lie. It is not true. Yes, do software and technology and AI and automation and all of these things reduce the amount of errors that happen? Of course. Look, go back, you know, 100 years ago, how much error happened during surgery and operations and flight takeoffs and car accidents and all these things where we've created more safety measures or different, you know, checklists that pilots have to do and surgeons need to do and all these things, right? And now there is a higher degree of safety when we enter certain arenas that didn't exist 100 years ago or 150 years ago. And now they do, right? That is a result of like, hey, let's reflect on this. Let's add new inventions and smart people coming together, et cetera. And then, and this is where the paradox of control comes in. And then we also have to sit with, there are certain things that are out of our control. There are certain things that are out of our control. So how do we really go about managing this paradox of control? How do we learn to sit with it better? How do we learn to lean into it? How do we embrace it better and stop trying to, all pun intended, control it? So we have to understand the difference between control and influence. The difference between what you can directly control and what you can influence indirectly. So while you may not have complete control over a situation, there are certain situations that you can exert influence through your actions, your choices, your attitudes. Influence is very different than control, very different. And so really thinking about where do I want to bring my influence into these moments or into these conversations or into these meetings. Another thing to look at when you're looking at managing the paradox of control is really creating a culture of contribution. So we did a series a while back on the five stages to build a culture of retention. And the fourth phase to build a culture of retention is designing a culture of contribution. If you haven't listened to that episode, we'll link that in the show notes here. And so creating a culture of contribution is teachers contributing, which gives them a sense of control and feeling like they could be part of the bigger picture of what's happening. When teachers contribute and are part of what's happening in the organization, there's a very different buy-in and feeling that comes from staff. Because again, control is not all bad. We want people to have agency and feel like they have a certain control over their destiny and what's, you know, what they get to do, their choices, their actions, their influence, their attitudes, their mindset. And so balancing that paradox is how can we create more of a culture of contribution where teachers can contribute to give them more of a sense of they are also part of the creation and the co-creation of this environment. The last thing to really look at when you're looking at managing the paradox of control is focusing on self-control. So while you may not control external circumstances, you have the ability to control your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own actions. You get to cultivate self-control and emotional regulation to navigate the challenging situations that are beyond your control, right? That are beyond your control. And again, we have multiple episodes on distress tolerance, on resilience, on navigating emotional regulation. We'll link those here in the show notes as well. And so the final piece to really think about when we're looking at the paradox of control and how to sit with it and navigate with it a little bit better is really asking ourselves, do I have control in this moment over how I'm going to view this situation? Do I have control in this moment about, so I'll leave you with these final questions because I find, again, that good questions really allow you to start to do your own reflection, right? So the podcast is this great starting point for you to actually recognize, oh my God, this is so interesting. Never thought of this before. Never looked at that perspective before. That's the point of the podcast. And then I want to invite you to do your own thinking, right? Where you get quiet with yourself, where you're not hearing my voice, but you're hearing your own voice. You're hearing what you have to think about this. So I'm going to share with you some questions. And again, if you're driving, go back and re-listen to this where you could take notes or pause the episode or whatever it is so you could take some time to reflect on these questions. So one, how can I strike a balance between providing clear direction and allowing for autonomy and innovation and creativity within the school? So you're really asking, how am I striking this balance between providing the clear direction and allowing for autonomy, but also allowing for innovation and creativity? How can I empower my staff to take ownership of their work and decisions while maintaining necessary organizational structure? How can I involve other stakeholders in the decision-making process without compromising efficacy and the vision of the leadership that we have in this school? How can I provide guidance and support for growth while avoiding micromanagement that hinders professional development and creativity? How can I build a culture of trust and accountability that allows for autonomy while ensuring that responsibilities are fulfilled and commitments are met? How can I cultivate adaptability and flexibility in our processes without losing the very necessary structure for effective operations? And lastly, how can I encourage a culture of continuous learning where mistakes are seen as opportunities for growth without losing sight of the desired outcomes? Good questions will change the quality of your life, will change the quality of your center, will change the quality of your leadership. This is why people work with us inside of our Owners HQ program, our Directors Inner Circle. This is why people hire myself to come and do leadership days inside of their organizations. This is why people book for one-on-one work. You know, when we're coming inside of the organization, we're working with the leaders one-on-one. Again, when you are playing at a high-level game, you're not looking for more ideas and more strategies and more tactics. You're looking for a higher-level conscious conversation. You are looking for someone who can ask you questions that you don't even realize that you need to be asking. And that is where the breakthrough happens. So I hope that these questions kind of started to get you to think about things from a different perspective. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. We have one more episode in this series. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for joining us. If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us. Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can click the link in the show notes or go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to optimize your already efficient systems or help you tweak some ones that need a little bit more tweaking to help you enter the 2024-2025 school year with ease, with success, and with calmness. Increase your profitability, reduce your expenses, and more than anything, just help you buy back some of your time. I look forward to seeing you there.